actually when someone is against your plans or is not supporting you, this makes you stronger. You feel even more what is your path. And then the word came to my father. I'm here because I'm the father of Maria and I'm curious what she's doing. And everyone's like, whoa, like, are you the father of Maria? Hello. You don't step into the car with ayahuasca. When family members drink ayahuasca, it brings everyone closer to each other. I saw and felt a soul who came to her and said, like, I want to be your child and I'm ready to come to Earth. If you do your own inner work, you don't only do this for yourself. Because I change so much from within, I have a better relationship with my children.
Welcome to the House of Oneness podcast, where we dig deep into the world of plant medicine to help you in your spiritual and personal growth. Our host of this podcast has traveled the world to learn plant medicine ceremonies. Here is your host, Maria Joanna.
If you do a plant medicine ceremony, you don't only do this for yourself. And in this podcast, I would like to explain you what the effect is also on your family and my own experience in plant medicine and my family. Because I was so enthusiastic about plant medicine and my whole family got involved. So I like you to take you with me in this story. And I also like to teach you something about the effect of your journey on the rest of your family. I like to talk about what is really real in your ceremony, or is it also sometimes fantasy? I will cover more things about this. But starting with my own journey, I want to go back to my first podcast. And in my first podcast, I'm talking a lot about my father and the relationship with him, how it formed me, how it shaped me, and it's quite negative. And I feel a bit, sorry in a way, because nowadays it's so different. And that's the hero's journey. And the hero's journey, this is a model that you feel the calling for the adventure. And on this hero's journey, you have to overcome your fear. And you have challenges, you have difficulties, and you think, oh, maybe I go back to my comfort zone. But you go out of your comfort zone, and there you will grow, you will learn, you will develop yourself. And yeah, actually my father has been a challenge, but also he helped me grow a lot. And yeah, nowadays it's so different, because actually he's my greatest supporter. And this is the cliche, like, in your hero's journey, in your journey of growing, following your soul path, your soul calling, there have to be challenges. And sometimes you get support and sometimes you get the opposite. And the opposite can also help you. I'm sharing this in my other podcast, that actually when someone is against your plans or is not supporting you, this makes you stronger. You feel even more what is your path and what is your opinion. And yeah, my father helped me a lot by also not supporting me and asking me to be normal. That let me even feel better and deeper into what I really wanted. Nowadays, he is supporting me. So at the moment I'm in Bali. He is helping me with sending out all the packages. He's watching all my YouTube videos. Even when he doesn't speak English well, he's watching them all. And he always gives compliments like, oh, great video, oh, great what you're doing. And that's really heartwarming. Actually, my whole family is helping me. Even my nephews and my nieces are helping with packing the chocolates, sending out the truffles. And yeah, it's really cute. I mean, they don't work a lot, but every now and then they like to help. So yeah, for my own feeling, I like to share that now the situation is so different. And I have been guiding him in his ayahuasca ceremony, which was really great to experience. And my father supports me every day now in my mission. And he also did an ayahuasca ceremony. He did more ceremonies, but I will start with the very first one. He saw me starting my own ayahuasca ceremonies, and he followed me and he saw all these testimonials coming in, and he thought, wow, my daughter does something special for these people, because they all write that it transformed their life, it changed their lives, they got out of depression or other big changes. And yeah, he started to ask like, hey, maybe I should join a ceremony. And I just listened and thought, yeah, maybe. And he said again, maybe I should join a ceremony. And so, yes, maybe you should. And then the third time when he said, maybe I should join a ceremony, I said, yes, and this is your date. And he said, yeah, fine, I will show up. So the day came that he joined a ceremony, and his group was quite dramatic. And before we started the ceremony, I always took the time, or I always take the time, to listen to everyone's story, to give good information, to prepare them well, even, yeah, while a ceremony is always stepping into the unknown, you never know what to expect. I like to give the people a good feeling, like to comfort them, and also to make a connection, to make a connection with the group. So I always ask people to introduce themselves and share why they do this plant medicine ceremony. And in this case, the circle was like around me. I started speaking and I started to introduce my team, and we introduced ourselves and our stories with ayahuasca in this case. And then the group started to speak, and it was one dramatic story to another. And everyone started to cry. One was depressed, the other was suicidal, the other lost a breast, the other was still having cancer, and yeah, all dramatic stories. And then the word came to my father. And my father was sitting like this, because he's very down to earth. Yeah, he's a farmer man. If you have listened to my other podcast, you would have more background about him. He said, yeah, well, I'm here because I'm the father of Maria, and I'm curious what she's doing, so just gonna check it out if this works. And everyone's like, whoa, like, are you the father of Maria? And yeah, for me, it was like, I was laughing, because for many people, to step into an ayahuasca ceremony is so big. And for him, it was just like, yeah, well, I'm here, let's check it out. And that was his way of stepping in, his attitude, like, I'm curious, I'm here, I want to do what my daughter does. And yeah, of course, my sister did it already, my mother did it, and like, yeah, my younger sister, it was a big turnaround for her, and he saw that. But he was really cool. And then we went into a ceremony, and we had a beautiful ceremony space. It was also in a circle. And yeah, this ceremony was quite a lot of work for the team, because people needed support, people were very emotional. And my father was emotional, but in another way. I will share a little bit about his journey. So from my perspective, I saw him laying down, and he had the first shot of ayahuasca. And then he thought, nothing is really happening. So he thought by himself, like, oh, yeah, it doesn't work for me, so I will step into the car and we'll go. And so he raised his hand. He said, hey, Maria, it doesn't work for me, so I think I just wait 10 more minutes and then I go to your mom. And I thought, hello. You don't step into the car with ayahuasca, like, no way. And it can also take a while. You never know what to expect. And the location was also more than, I think it was like 2 hours drive or 1.5 hour drive from my parents' house. So I thought, you're not gonna step into this car. But I said, yeah, you can also take a second shot. So he took a second shot of ayahuasca, and he was still very cool. And suddenly he was laying down there with a huge smile And it was dark in the ceremony room, so I was checking, like, is he really smiling? And also my team was like, wow, your father is like having such a big smile on his face. And then suddenly he started to laugh and he didn't stop. So there was so much drama in the room, and there was one person couldn't stop laughing. But it was in a way that it was not disturbing, but it brought a lot of joy and positive vibes in the ceremony room. And to me, it was like, whoa, like, I don't want to disturb him in his process. So I was just observing, but it made me also so happy from inside to hear this laughter from my father and to see his face, not knowing what was going on in his inner world, but just like, wow. And also my team was like, yes, Maria, your father is having a good time. And then, he was laughing for 4 hours. His journey was like, from the moment he started laughing, 4 hours straight, he kept on laughing. And then suddenly he was finished. He raised his hand, he called me to come towards him. And he put his lips like this, like a kiss. And then he said, this was fantastic. Like, best thing I've ever done. I'm like, wow, like my own father. So after ceremony, we're sitting down, we were talking, and he explained to me that he said, life is like a game. It's like a movie. And then this person comes into stage, and then the other person comes into stage, and this is, person is playing a big role, and then it is kicked out of stage, and he's coming to the background, and he saw all the roles that we are playing. And also what he saw, because in my other podcast I'm sharing that he was always against my boyfriends, and actually this is from a good heart. If for him, like, everyone is welcome, it doesn't matter. I grew up in a house where everything was possible. I had like less rules than all of my friends, so I grew up in a house where everyone was always coming over, and there was always parties in our house, and my parents are very, very welcoming. And that's why I also like to welcome people. I always liked people, to invite people into my house and into my life, and to connect everyone. And yeah, it is because my parents are both like that. So what is only his weakness is the moment that a man is in my love life, then he shuts down and it's a big problem for him. It doesn't matter who it is, actually. It's just a difficult thing for him when his daughter is, actually all of his daughters, of course. My sisters had the same. I realized it also later on. Yeah, it's just a weakness of my father. But in his ceremony, he also saw me and then this boyfriend and then that boyfriend. And he was laughing like, okay, it's just all a game. And it was also a game for him to see me with this guy or that guy. And he was laughing and he saw those things from the past. And then he saw my mom, and my mom was like, he saw her on like on a crown, like a throne. Yeah, and as if it was like the love of his life, and he's like, oh yeah, she's the love of my life. And then there was only one thing that ayahuasca told him is, don't smoke cigars. And he picked up on that on another ceremony, but until then he was still smoking. Later on, a plant medicine ceremony helped him to stop smoking, and he smoked his whole life until like from he was 12 years old or something, like really young. And the plant medicine also helped him to stop, but that's another ceremony. This ceremony showed him that actually life is one music. Yeah, it's like music. Everything is vibration, and with the music of the universe, everything comes into existence. And yeah, he became the director of life, and he was laying down like this, and every tone of the music was going through his body. And my father is a big dancer. When you have a party and there's one person that attracts all the attention, that's my father, because he's always dancing. And like if he enters the dance floor, he will be the one who attracts the most attention. So he is very much about music, and he sort of felt the music through his whole body, and he was just laying like this and enjoying and laughing, and he got some lessons, but most of all he saw that we are actually living in a playground and we play a role, but this is not who we are. He saw the truth actually, and that's, I think, is the greatest thing to experience. I don't know how deeply he realized that, and for himself he said it changed something for him. After his ceremony he got more inner peace. This is what he said, but my mother said he didn't change a lot. But yeah, it's all about your own inner experience, what you feel from inside. And he said like it gave him a lot more peace and trust, and he also saw things like the economical world, that it can collapse, or it can, yeah, why there are crises sometimes in the world and also in the financial system. So that was also a subject in his ceremony, and that's also what we see, of course, in, yeah, now, this time, but it's also throughout history. And he learned about patterns in the world, in life, in cycluses, in nature. So we had a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. And after that, so one lesson was, don't smoke the cigars. But what did he do? After his ceremony, he thought, oh, let's smoke a cigar. He had no vomiting in his ceremony, like not going to the toilet. But then, after the ceremony, he smoked the cigar. And then he almost turned out to be green. And then he had to release on the toilet. So the ayahuasca drinkers know what I mean. There came his cleansing and his lesson, but then he didn't integrate that yet. At night, he woke me up and he said, Maria, I go to your mother. And he realized how much he loves her, that he knows that, but he just had to go there. And I thought it was really cute, really sweet. And I would say, when family members drink ayahuasca, it brings everyone closer to each other. So because of his ceremony, it also affected us, the rest of the family. And then there was only one person in our family who didn't drink ayahuasca yet, my older sister. But she was becoming mother, and another time she had Jens, Mella, later on my niece, but that's a few years later. But after her two boys, she also felt a calling to do ayahuasca. I organized a ceremony for my friends in my villa then. And yeah, that also had an impact on everyone in the family. So when my friends heard that my father did ayahuasca, they said, okay, now that your father drank ayahuasca, we should go too. I started to organize a ceremony for my friends. And yeah, I did a few. On the second one, my sister also joined. She was ready and she felt a calling, so she stepped into this. And that was also a big change for her. So for my younger sister, it was a big change, and for my older sister too. And in between, my younger sister did also a second ceremony. And for my younger sister, what happened in her second ceremony is that she saw and felt a soul who came to her and said, like, I want to be your child and I'm ready to come to Earth. And this happens sometimes. I've been seeing that a lot in ceremonies, that, yeah, a lot, yes, several times. And also from people who are dear to me, people who are close to me, that they felt like, whoa, it's time for me to become a mom, or it's time for me to become a father. And so my sister had it also. And one time my younger sister had a miscarriage, and of course this is emotional. And when my older sister stepped into this ceremony, she was doing healing work for my younger sister, and this also affected me. It's, yeah, it's something you need to experience. But I want to point out that if you do your own inner work, you don't only do this for yourself. Many people, especially also parents, give some feedback to me. They say, because I change so much from within, I have a better relationship with my children or with their dogs, that they become more peaceful. And because they have more patience, then of course they also got it back from the outer world. And that's fantastic. But for my sister, the change was even bigger. My sister always thought, like, I like to be an entrepreneur, I like to do something more creative. And she had a good job at a bank. And a few times she told the bank, I want to go. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I want to do something else. But they always gave her such a good offer, they don't want to let her go. And then she stayed, because she didn't know the other path. And yeah, so I'm gonna share something that her career changed after ceremony. And this is also very common, like it's my story too. And yeah, so many people, when they step into their inner world, when they step into a plant medicine ceremony, start to realize, what is life about? What is my unique talent? What do I want to bring to the world? So my sister stepped into the ceremony together with my friends, and for the first hours, and maybe it was even 4 hours, she was fighting the effect of the medicine. But she looked so peaceful, and you don't disturb someone in their process. So I thought, she's just in peace and I don't want to disturb her. Let her be in peace. But she was all the time fighting from within. And finally, after 4 hours, my first friend already was out of her journey. She vomited and she asked for me. So she wanted me to hold her hand. Then finally she could find the trust to throw up. And for her, it was like throwing up to surrender. And in Dutch, the word of throwing up is the word surrender. So she surrendered, she had to let go. And there her journey started. She had a very unique long journey of 14 hours. And in this 14 hours, I stayed with her. So this was also really beautiful for our relationship. Or maybe the first 4 hours was fighting and then 10 hours journey. It was insane, it was so long. And with ayahuasca, you never know what to expect. And that's different with Shoko Bliss. This is more measurable, you can have more certainty, more free will, more control, but ayahuasca, it's unpredictable. She had this very, very long journey, and she also came in a loop. And this loop was a lot about beauty. So she was fighting the beauty. She was fighting against all that was already inside of her. And ayahuasca showed her beauty, all the things that she can be grateful for. So she said all the time, her children, she also saw her future child. She wasn't ready then, but later on she realized, I saw my daughter already, because later on she got a daughter. And she saw her husband, and the message was all the time, everything is good as it is. And be flexible, move with life. Whatever happens, don't resist, because she has been fighting the medicine. She was resisting the medicine, but the message was like, don't resist. Whatever happens in life, don't resist. And then life is the easiest. And if you have a problem, there will come a solution. That's part of life. And maybe you experience something that seems to be like bad luck, but it can turn out that it's actually the best thing that happened to you. And it was all the time repeating and giving her a lot of positive energy, love, gratitude. It was so much beauty. And because it was repeating and repeating and repeating, these lessons were so integrated in her that she went home as a different person, like very relaxed. And just, I think it was 2 weeks after her ceremony, as she was working at a bank, everyone got fired, including her, which was very strange for her to experience. But on the other hand, it was only strange with her head. But she got so much trust out of this ceremony, and she had this teaching like, move with life, whatever happens, just move with it, don't resist. She felt totally acceptance on losing her job, while lots of her colleagues were panicking, like, what do we need to do now? And she was just in peace. And her colleagues were like, you're so peaceful, you're like, you don't even react, there's no emotion, it seems like it. And she was like, yeah, I also feel peace. It's just, okay, this happens, as if she was just observing. And when she lost her job, a lot of people asked her help, like, hey, Michelle, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? And I also was a person like, hey, Michelle, can you help me with this? So her husband was starting to ask for help. I was asking for help. A friend was asking for help. Another friend was asking for help. Another friend was asking for help. So she had 5 customers before she even could think about what to do after. And this is how she started to become an entrepreneur. And it was also searching for herself, like, but what is giving me energy? Because you can have qualities, but is this your greatest passion or not? And when we were younger, we always had a dream that we would have a marketing agency together. We were very young, and we called this, in our fantasy, we had a company called like M&M, Maria and Michelle, M&M. And yeah, we had a marketing agency. This was our fantasy. And then it kind of became our reality, because I asked her to help me with my marketing. She has like very different qualities as I have. We are so opposite. So she's very good in structure, planning, numbers, and I'm more chaotic, playful. I don't look at the details. I don't look at numbers. I just go, flow, and go. And she's more the brain and the grounding. And yeah, I would say until today, she's my protection. If I have to make decisions, which is including like numbers, finance, I have not a good feeling for that much. So I call her, Michelle, what do you think? And she's always protecting me, because I also, yeah, I believe people on their words. Many people broke my trust, and then she couldn't handle seeing that. So before I make a decision, I always call my sister. And in this way, she's evolved in my activities as an entrepreneur. And also in other ways, she's very good in Facebook advertisement, marketing strategy. And I just do. I don't really think ahead the way she does. And yeah, that is beautiful to make each other stronger. And yeah, I'm really grateful that she also knows what I do. She also got involved in this. And because of her journey, she also healed a part of my sister, and it opened up conversations. So this is what it can do when you do a ceremony with your partner, with your family, that it opens up conversations, but also in the energy field, it will affect everyone. And that's the beauty with the plant medicine, because it works on a level that we cannot really understand as human being. It's so much deeper. And today I recorded another video where I was sharing a metaphor. And see it like this. Many people do these ceremonies in order to heal trauma, to heal pain, to heal depression. And one of my old participants had a beautiful metaphor. She said, okay, Maria, she had a divorce, and she had pain because of her divorce. And she said, see pain like a fire in your system. And you can use medications, like from the pharmaceutical industry. They don't have the spirit. It's just very practical and chemical. And it's healing from outside. So as if you cover the pain so that you don't feel the pain. But the pain is still there. The fire is still there. It doesn't remove the fire completely. It's just a layer over the fire, but under this cover, there's still the fire. And when you take plant medicine, it carries a spirit. And you are also a body, a mind, and a soul, so a spirit. You can heal your body, you can heal your mind, but you also have your spirit. And with plant medicine, you can heal that part, the spirit. And you cannot do this by talking. So she said, see it like this. For her, it was like taking ayahuasca, taking shoko bliss, taking other plant medicine. You have the fire of your trauma, of your depression, of your pain. And then you also touch the part of the spirit. And then you come from the essence. So you heal from the essence, and you can remove the whole fire, and you're free from within. It's a liberation. And then it's changing your way of thinking, your beliefs, your perspective. And many times people start to understand the perspective of the person that they are blaming. So like many times we put ourselves in the role of being the victim. But if you victimize yourself, you make yourself very weak. And in ceremony, you start to see, okay, actually, I am the one who's responsible for my suffering. I am the one who can make myself or a victim or a hero. And I can forgive the other person or I can blame the other person. But it's way more powerful if I forgive the other person, because by forgiving the other, I forgive myself. And by forgiving myself of victimizing myself and putting myself in suffer, I resolve, I heal, I transform, and I grow. So the power of the plant medicine is to transform your pain into power. And many times I see people that are using their pain or using their challenge in order to find a deeper purpose in life. And also myself, like the plants, they transformed my life so much. So I made my mission to spread the word of the plant medicine. I made my mission of organizing plant medicine ceremonies, and I've been guiding a lot and developing even my own plant medicines. And it has never been my plan. Another thing that I learned from the plant medicine ceremonies is you don't have to have this plan for your life. It will be unfolding when you just move with it and don't resist life. So the same lesson that my sister had in her ceremony, like, just go with it, don't resist life. Don't make the judgment or maybe have a picture, this is how my life should look like. But this is not how it works. Life has a plan, so this is my vision that I learned from plant medicine ceremonies. Life has a plan for you. And I love this quote. Life is what happening while we are busy making other plans. So maybe you have plans in your head and you make these plans for your future, but actually life is what is happening in the moment and how it unfolds by itself. So in plant medicine ceremonies, it's about surrendering, accepting, dancing with life, laughing with life, playing with life, and it will awaken your inner child. And a child is laughing and playing with life, and this is so important. And many people, when they grow up, they lose this child, being a child, and they want to follow up on the rules of society. But it's good to be a rebellion. It's good to stand up for your own way of living and step up for who you want to be. But it's all inside of you, and the plant medicine, it opens up the portal to your soul. It reconnects yourself with your heart, and it helps you to come home to yourself and helps you to start living your true nature. So why would you do plant medicine ceremonies? It's in order to heal, in order to grow, in order to reflect, to forgive, and most of all, it's about becoming who you really are. And that's actually the most beautiful thing that you can give to yourself. So plant medicine ceremonies are the greatest present to yourself. So the only thing I wanted is be home for this short night, change my luggage, and then next day fly over to Brazil. I couldn't find my keys. I was on the streets. I opened up my suitcases. I just started to cry. I was crying on the street. I went to Brazil. I didn't even know where I was, because it was a whole ayahuasca journey. Someone was threatening me on my phone. And it was so personal. I was so shocked. I learned there that hurt people hurt people. And this combo, this frog who carries the combo is so powerful that it knows no fear. It doesn't have any fear. And that's also the spirit of the combo. You think, oh my God, it can cure so many illnesses. I cannot go on. I have to give up on my biggest dream. I never knew what the word bitterness meant until that moment.
Thanks for listening. Check out our website, houseofoneness.com, for more information about plant medicine, microdosing, and ceremonies. Or find Maria Joanna at Instagram. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, keep following that inner voice.